This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. We are approaching storm season, and we're going to be talking this morning about what do you do in case the storm becomes a problem for you. And I know it's been a problem for many of you, and perhaps you were not prepared. We're going to try to help you get a little more prepared for that. And then when the storm hits, if it does create problems, what do you do next? We have some people with answers, and a little bit later in the show, we're going to open up the phone line, so don't try to call us right now. Let's sort of set the stage first. Lynn Keating is with us from the Federal Emergency Management Agency in Atlanta. Lynn, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. Thank you for inviting me.
Good to have you here today. Lynn and I go way back to high school, and she's in town for our high school, I won't say which one because girls sometimes are, you know, a little touchy on that.
Well, you know,
it's been
it
at
is
least 10
50.
Years.
It's our 50th. And I think it's fabulous that we're walking and look as great as you do.
Well, you look great too. How did 50 years slip away?
Can't imagine.
And with you, you brought with you Jeremy Height. How are you, Jeremy?
Morning, Bart.
Jeremy heads up the Tennessee Emergency Management. He's the public information officer, and he's the guy who gets out the information to us. And what should we be doing right now? I mean, we have no clue as to whether we're going to have a flood or tornado. I guarantee you we're going to have something sometime.
We've already had one presidential disaster this year already. Back in February, we had 10 counties that were declared for presidential assistance. So it starts early in Tennessee, and it continues all through the summer, probably till about June, where we're at high risk.
Oh, you never know when it's going to be. I guess the big storm in Barfield Crescent community, just down the road from here, happened in a January time,
right,
several years ago. That was perhaps one of the first really bad tornadoes that I can remember. Of course, we could go back to 1912, 1913. We had big tornadoes that wiped out downtown.
Most people remember the Good Friday tornado from a few years ago.
Yes.
when that tornado came right through Murfreesboro.
And totally without expecting it. I mean, that was a surprise. It was a sunny day. We interviewed folks that were walking on the Greenway when that happened. I had no clue that it was going to happen. That was pretty unusual, wasn't it?
Well, we do get a lot of good warnings from the National Weather Service. Here in Tennessee, we're served by four Weather Service offices across the state. And so we can tend to see that weather coming from Texas, for example. That's usually where it starts, and then it moves through Arkansas and comes into Tennessee. Occasionally, they just pop up, and then you get those isolated supercells, and those are pretty dangerous.
Very definitely. By the way, for those of you who just moved into town, WGNS gives you all of this information instantly. 24 hours a day, we do it on the air. We do it on the internet, on our website, WGNSradio.com. We also text you information. And I know that I was out of town when that April, the Good Friday tornado occurred, and got the text message. I was up in Gatlinburg. And it usually takes, you know, 3-4 hours to get back. Well, I knew I needed to come home. I think it took 10 or 12 hours to get home that time. Those are unusual things. Is there any way to prepare for those?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think people really need to look at their own individual situation and then take their family preparedness first. And that's where it all starts, is at that community level, the family level. If you're a head of a household, you really should look at putting together an emergency plan for your family to be able to communicate after disaster. Where are you going to meet? Say you can't get home. If there's somebody you can call out of town that you can reach out and stay in contact with so that people can check in essentially with your family, make sure everybody everybody's okay. And then having enough supplies in your family to sustain your family and your neighbors for at least a couple of days at least.
What kind of supplies are we talking about?
It's really basic. Some food and some water, some sanitary things. I mean, if you look at what's typically needed after a disaster, it's very easy to go and get that for less than $100 at say, a Home Depot or a Walmart.
Now, Lynn, you have gone on the scene to disaster areas over the years. What do you feel as you walk through these areas? What is the safest place to be? Where would it be?
That's a challenging question because everybody's situation is different. And when you're talking about tornadoes, an interior place in a home, probably a basement that's walled in, no windows, but a lot of homes don't have basements. If you're in a mobile home, if you have any warning, you want to be out of that home at some place, you know, that is a secure shelter. And what I want to reiterate what Jeremy said, knowing your risk, planning ahead is probably the most crucial thing that families can do. Looking at what in your area, if you're susceptible to tornadoes, look and see what interior place in your home would be the safest. I know with my family, we've already determined that there was one closet that's, you know, we would have to clear out area and we would just all be in that closet because it's the one place where there are no windows and we don't have a secure basement. So looking at what your particular situation is, if there are any shelters in your area or if you have neighbors, I really want to encourage people to look at a neighborhood concept. Looking, you know, talking to your neighbors who may have a secure shelter if there was an impending storm. Having phone numbers for all your family members, like Jeremy said. For flooding, there's a lot of things that people can do ahead of time. Once again, looking at what your risk is. Particularly spring storms, people are at risk to flooding. There's flash floods, there's spring thaw, there's intense rains that come over a very short period of time. So even if your structure is not near water, you're not necessarily out of risk. So look and see what your risk might be. Look and see what your insurance covers. If you only have flood insurance, you're not going to be covered for flood damage. So families, homeowners, business owners, renters might want to look at a flood insurance policy to cover damage. Particularly with flooding, the average flood claim the average flood loss probably over the past 10 years is about $34,000 for any particular home that did not have flood insurance.
Looking back at the last 2 years, Tennessee's seen some historic disasters. The May 2010 flood, for example, we had the average cost for damage to the 11,000 structures that had major damage was about $55,000. When you consider that the FEMA Max grant award is only $31,000, that leaves you a $20,000 hole to try and climb out of. If you have flood insurance, you can mitigate that. Essentially, you can get that and have $100,000 coverage $250,000 for a home, and then you can also get $100,000 worth of coverage for your contents. That contents one is something people don't remember to get sometimes because they think that the coverage they get for their home will cover that interior, you know, your refrigerator, your stove, your furnace, and it doesn't. It only covers rebuilding the structure. So you want to make sure you've got your contents covered.
And so flood insurance only covers the structure, nothing inside.
There's two kinds of, just like homeowners insurance, mm-hmm. You can get homeowners for the structure, but then you have to get a separate coverage for contents. Flood insurance is the same way. The basic flood insurance policy for homeowners or business owners is over the structure. However, there is a policy that another kind of policy that you can get that does cover contents. And particularly, there's so many people that rent homes or apartments, sometimes even mobile homes or whatnot. So they can get, and they don't think about getting flood insurance to cover their contents. That's an excellent point, Jeremy. The other thing I want to mention when it comes to flood insurance, many people think about disaster assistance, but in reality, federal declarations only come into play probably, you know, a very small percentage of the time. More than 90% of the floods that happen never get a federal disaster. So the only real protection against loss, property loss, and personal property loss is flood insurance.
A lot of people probably think, well, I'm pretty safe. I live on relatively high ground. Everything around here is relatively flat, though. Are there any maps that show how prone you are to being a victim of a flood?
There are, and 25 to 30% of the flood claims come from outside of those so-called risk areas. So it's not people. I mean, we saw in May 2010, the flooding that occurred did not occur in the flood zones for them primarily. It occurred on the places where water was not able to drain away, so people on top of hills were flooded. Just to give you an example of the cost of that disaster relative, from 1998 to April 2010, the national flood insurance payment payouts for insurance were $254 million. For May 2010, those payouts were $226 million. So you want to talk about people who had coverage. They were pretty good. They were able to start back and get their lives going again. The people who didn't have coverage really had a hard time getting started.
Well, I would imagine. Somebody said that a flood is the most devastating catastrophe that hits you, because if it's a fire, all those memories are gone forever. With tornadoes, they're usually gone. Also, with a flood, the memories are still there, but they're ruined. And you see them in ruins.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it takes so long to recover from that. I mean, and it's such a widespread area that's been damaged. It's, with a tornado, you have usually a fairly narrow track, and it affects certain parts of the community usually, but the neighbors are able to rally. When you have a flood, the entire community suffers. And it's a very different long-term recovery process.
One thing I've noticed, you mentioned that I've been on the disaster side. Now I'm on the flood prevention and disaster prevention side. But for over 18 years, I went across the country, and many of the disasters were flood disasters. What is the most devastating is there are so many communities that have senior citizens that have lived in their homes, they paid up their mortgage, they purchased their homes, or they inherited their homes when there wasn't flood insurance available, or they didn't think it wasn't required, or for whatever reason they didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And the flood wiped them out. They didn't have any savings. I mean, well, they had a lot of savings. They didn't have insurance or any protection. And so therefore, their savings were wiped out. And it's just really tragic, because most of the time these people don't have any debt, and they've come to a point where they're debt free, and then the only avenue for many people is to incur loans and whatnot. So, you know, looking at risk and looking at how you can protect yourself is critical. I also want to refer people to a couple of websites. Tima has a wonderful website. But floodsmart.gov and FEMA.gov both have a lot of information for what we call protective measures that people can take. So besides flood insurance, people can look at their property. There are a lot of things they can do with their land, you know, plants. There are a lot of different ways, if you are at risk of flooding, that you can deter how the water would go. And it's worth exploring.
Right.
FloodSmart. What was it again?
Floodsmart.gov.
Okay. Jot that down.
I've got one thing to add. Just we go back to the preparedness piece. One thing that Tennessee has done in the last year is we've launched a smartphone application called Ready Tennessee. And inside that application, it gives you a couple of really good things. It gives you some situational awareness of what's going on about the weather, the roads, and then any shelters, emergency shelters that may be open. But it has the ability to give you detailed information on how to plan for a hazard. I'm looking right now at the basic disaster supplies you asked me about, you know, and it's got a checklist. You go through there and you can check off each of those things, as you buy them in a store, if you go back, you know, and you've got one that isn't checked, you can pick it up the next time you're in the store. It's very easy to do that. Plus, it has contacts for all your local chief elected officials, which are county, city mayor, and then all your local public safety officials.
Are these people able to help you? I mean, at a time of a catastrophe, everybody's covered up, and it's difficult sometimes to even get through to the officials.
I want to say one thing right now, because Jeremy alluded to it before. First of all, first responders in a community are the most amazing people, and public officials and your radio stations like yours, Bart, that helps people with information. And it's important for people to understand that that is their first avenue, but the first initial avenue that Jeremy talked about was your own family, because most times first responders are not necessarily going to be able to get to you for sometimes 72 hours. Power outage, all kinds of things. I remember one storm that we had in our area we're inland, but hurricane winds created a lot of tornado systems that traveled up to, you know, interior Georgia, and trees were down everywhere, so you couldn't get past roads that normally, you know, it would take 5 minutes to get to a store. It would take hours just because you couldn't move with a vehicle. So looking at what are your most immediate needs, having medications. People, a lot of times, you know, have critical medications. They need to make sure they always have like a month's supply of medication, if possible. And knowing who to call for an emergency, what your emergency numbers are, critical.
And I guess really having friends know to call you and see if you're okay. And if you can't get through, which oftentimes you can't, go by and check all the friends.
That's one of those reasons you need to have a person in your family who's outside of your area code that you check in with. Because the way the phone system works, the local circuits may be busy, so you can't call across town, but you might be able to call a family member who's in Pennsylvania, for example. It's just the way the phone systems are set up. So if you have somebody outside of your area code as your contact point, that's the best thing to do.
We're talking about what to do in the event of an emergency. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. We'll be right back. Stay with us, won't you?
Now, FM 100.5 is louder, so you can listen longer. We've increased power to better serve you. This is WGNS Murfreesboro.
Swap your ride today at Ford of Murfreesboro. Get a 2012 Ford Flex and get up to $3,650 cash back through April 30th. Price excludes tax, title, and registration and $499 dealer fee. Or you can finance a Ford Flex for 0% APR for 60 months. Visit Ford of Murfreesboro today on Broad at the intersection of Northfield Boulevard. Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. Looking for a new look? Update your gemstones by letting us remount your jewels into a new style. White gold, yellow gold, vintage, modern. Let Bell Jewelers help you design a special piece with your old gemstones, or let our award-winning jeweler, Bob Lanier, custom make a fabulous piece just for you.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
WeatherEye.
We have a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms developing this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, 77 degrees for your high temperature. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 63.
This weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This is Kix Brooks from Brooks & Dunn, and you're listening to WGNS Talk Radio, Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Only in America.
How many tears can you cry till the longing's over? And how many tears can you cry till you want someone new? That's a question I'm still unable to answer.
Welcome back. We're talking about being prepared for emergencies. Our phone number is 893-1450. Maybe you have been in an emergency. Were you prepared? Maybe there's something that you did that you'd like to share with us. 893-1450 is our number, 893-1450. Visiting with us from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, is Lynn Keating, and from the Tennessee Emergency Management Agency, Public Information Officer Jeremy Height. Our number is 893-1450. We were talking about being prepared, things people need to do, and it seems like Tennessee, and particularly Middle Tennessee, over the past decade or so have, for some reason, become more prone to have tornadoes. I mean, we used to think of Iowa and those places being tornadoes, and but now it's Rutherford County for some reason.
We actually lead the nation in Tennessee with tornado deaths.
Now that's not something we want to lead with.
Absolutely not. But we experience a couple different things that cause that. Primarily, the tornadoes that come through our community tend to be late in the evenings and overnights, just because of where we are situated in the weather patterns. So that tends to cause people to be home, not be listening to warnings, not listening to the radio, they're asleep. So that's why it's important to have a NOAA weather radio that'll wake you up with an alert when there's something you need to do and take action immediately. Because usually the weather service is really good about giving warnings, and they'll tell us for days that there's severe weather coming. But when they know there's a tornado coming, most people, the best we get is about 16 minutes of warning before it's in your backyard, essentially.
And you never know. With just not tornadoes by themselves, but what is it, downdrafts from storms and things right. like that can cause equally devastating damage.
Right. We see a lot of straight-line winds, for example, mm-hmm. and the only way to tell the difference between that and a tornado is afterwards you look, is the are the trees all pointing in one direction, or are they in a swirly pattern?
Now, the Weather Bureau goes out, which was news to me, and they do investigations on each disaster that happens.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Weather Service will be out there the next morning looking at those patterns and looking at the damage that's been caused to structures, and they'll use that to estimate how strong were the winds, what sort of force was exerted on those buildings. And they can tell by the types of damage that's done to a structure how fast the winds were going to do that kind of damage.
Mm-hmm. Lynn, if people get in touch with FEMA, are there many areas that seem to have problems that just pop up out of the blue? I mean, especially with flooding problems, can somebody who has never had a flooding problem and there's no record of floods in the past, suddenly they just have a water all over the property there?
As far as getting in touch with FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency does administer the National Flood Insurance Program. Without going into great detail, the federal government developed the Flood Insurance Program because prior to that time, there was not any insurance available. Let me stress, most homeowner policies do, and I don't know of any homeowner policies that cover flood, but to be safe, we'll say most homeowner policies do not cover flood-related loss. There are some private insurance companies that do offer flood insurance, but they're very high, at a very high rate. And so the Flood Insurance Program was put into effect basically as a joint kind of system. It's one to make flood insurance available to participating communities, so any county and community that participates in the flood National Flood Insurance Program, which means that they agree to have good floodplain management and abide by certain regulations, will be able to allow flood insurance to be sold. One point I want to make specifically, because the biggest myth that we've run into across the country and what we get phone calls about is from agents that tell people they can't buy flood insurance because they don't live in a special flood hazard area. It is not true. As long as you are in a participating community, you, a homeowner, renter, or business owner can purchase flood insurance. So floodsmart.gov is an excellent place to go to find out about the different kinds of flood insurance. There's a preferred risk policy available for people that don't live in special flood hazard areas. It's a much lower rate. Flood insurance is determined. It's not a competitive kind of thing. One insurance company can't charge more than another. It's determined by your structure and your risk. It's important for people to know that. You also, if your agent says that you can't buy it for some reason, you can contact floodsmart.gov and they'll give you references to agents that will.
Right. Every community in Tennessee that participates is listed on the FEMA website. There's a list, and there's really everything in Rutherford County participates. Every community in the county here participates. Now, there are some that in the state that do not participate, but it's very rare. I'm looking at a list here, and there's 14 pages of communities that participate. We have 354 in the state that are part of that, and just a handful, less than one page, do not participate. And that is shrinking because of the May 2010 flood. A lot of people saw that places, they reached out to their elected officials and said, I want this as something to protect myself, but it requires the government to take some action at the local level.
Let's let some of the listeners join us now. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. I heard earlier you were talking about tornadoes and a safe place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know a lot of times homes are completely destroyed, and that includes inside closets. But I've always heard that a good place to be, if you can get to it, would be a low-lying ditch and... My main question is if that ditch leads to a pipe that you can sit up in under the road, would that be more like a shotgun blowing you out from one end to the other? Or would that be safe if there was not water in that pipe? And I'll hang up and answer for my response.
Good question.
All right. Let me go at that first. When there's like an F5 tornado, a catastrophic tornado where it wipes the house completely out, there that can happen. And unfortunately, there are very few safe places unless you have a reinforced safe room in there. Most homes, though, will survive. I've seen lots of tornado damage. I've done lots of surveys. What I tend to see is the places that are safest are under some sort of structure, like the bottom of the stairs, if you have a closet under the bottom of the stairs, or if you have a bathroom that's an interior wall. Everything else, exterior walls, if it's got an exterior wall, you don't want to be there because that's where it'll come up. If you're in a garage, you don't want to be there because the door blows in and then the roof lifts off, and that opens you up to the sky, essentially. If you're in a mobile home, if your choices are in a mobile home or in a ditch, you're probably safer in the ditch than you are in the mobile home. But that's a personal thing. You've got to plan ahead. You've got to know what your nearest threats are and where your nearest safe places are so that when something happens, you don't hesitate. You take the action. I wouldn't encourage anybody to be inside a pipe. Unfortunately, that tends to be places that get flooded, and once you get rushing water in there, you'll be pushed through and you'll drown. It doesn't take very much to be able to knock a person down, especially if you're inside a pipe.
Now, a lot of folks are offering these storm shelters, some that are bolted into garages, some that are in, you know, workrooms, some that are actually under the ground. Are they all safe?
The best place to be is under the ground. So if you've got a structure that goes into the ground, if you can get below ground, that's like if you're in a basement that's got dirt on all four sides, that's probably the safest place to be because the wind's forces, the closer you are to the ground, are less. But like I said, the varying things about storm shelters are you can't really predict which ones are going to be better than others.
Now, there was a time recently where different emergency groups were going around and identifying where all of the underground shelters are so that in case of a storm, they'll know that there's a shelter there.
Sure.
In case the structure falls on top of it. Is that a big thing? Does this happen a lot? Shelters fall on top of the house falls in and they can't find the shelter?
Well, if you've had a contractor install a shelter in your home, say example, essentially a trap door into a small space, if a lot of debris is on top of that small space, it might be hard to find that little safe room unless somebody in your community knows that there was a safe room there. So that's important. Mm-hmm. When you reach out to your local emergency manager, every county has one. In all 95 counties, there's an emergency management director who reports to the local mayor. They're the ones who need to know where those are in their community so they can make sure that the responders check that place to make sure that if you were there and you're safe but can't get out, that they can help you get back out of it.
Does 911 put that in their information that they have on their computers?
Each county tracks that differently, so yes, but that's something that they do keep track of.
Okay, well, we'll find out about that and let people know about that. It seems like all of these preparedness issues and everything came up with two major disasters that we can all relate to, well, maybe three, because 9/11 would be definitely one of those, and the other one would be Katrina, and then just some of the general storms that we've had most recently. But I guess 9/11 was the one that opened our eyes the most, because we didn't feel like we were vulnerable to attacks. Lynn, you were actually one of the people who was at Ground Zero not long after 9/11. What was the mood there?
Well, it was a sobering experience, and it was a disaster. I think whether you were there or whether you were sitting in your home, I mean, it did affect everyone. That particular disaster, like a tornado, the tornado comes in and it's done, and it's devastating, and then you start your process of recovery. That particular disaster was terrifying because of the unknown aspect, and then the continual thing. You didn't know if there was going to be, you know, another attack, and then of course there were other things that were happening, like the anthrax, etc. But it did two things, I think, that the whole country saw. It brought a lot of people together, and it did increase our vulnerability without question. But I think that, you know, when you say the disaster in recent times, there have been devastating disasters. It depends on what part of the country you were in. In 1989, Charleston and that South Carolina area got horribly devastated. It just almost destroyed the whole, you know, historic community, as well as the outlying area with Hurricane Hugo. I worked Hurricane Andrew, which destroyed all of, you know, South Florida, Miami and out. So one thing I learned in my 20 years of working with disasters, you can be in a very small town and have a few homes hit and it be catastrophic. That's somebody's worst disaster, and it makes anyone feel vulnerable. So yes, the bigger ones, and particularly the terror, we've all been affected by terrorism. We could have a whole program on that. But it is Mother Nature that is also terrifying, because in the same way, it strikes when least expected. We haven't even talked about earthquakes.
Oh, boy. And we're right here in Earthquake Valley almost.
Well, and what we saw here in Tennessee in the last 2 years, the 2010 floods were the largest natural disaster to strike the state since Katrina in terms of size and scope and impact to the communities. And then last year, we had 5 presidential disasters declared in the state of Tennessee. That's more than anywhere else in the country last year. And that, you know, that puts us squarely in the middle of, we're on the leading edge of, we get disasters, we get unstable weather, we get strong storms, and those things happen here. So if you live in Tennessee, you need to take adequate precautions for your family, and there's no doubt about it.
Lynn, I'm glad you mentioned earthquakes, because that is something that we really don't think about that much. If you're in Memphis, Tennessee, you probably think about it a little more, but I doubt they think too much about it. The New Madrid Fault over there.
And I'll let Jeremy speak to that.
I think Middle Tennessee actually should be very, very concerned about the earthquake threat, because what people don't understand is if we have a large earthquake in West Tennessee or Western Arkansas or Western Missouri, it's going to devastate that western portion of the state. But do you know where the response footprint is going to be? It's going to be right here. It's going to be at Smyrna. That's where we're going to have, or it's going to be in Tullahoma. It's going to be at the Fort Campbell area, where we're going to see massive resources starting to move into our state. And then we're going to have to find ways to get those resources to the local communities in West Tennessee. And we're talking 1,500 truckloads a day of commodities to help support them with water and food, things like that.
And so I think it's really critical that people look at not what other people, like their safety officials, their public officials, can do for them, I think it's important to know what avenues are open to people in their local communities and what social services are there, and agencies like the Red Cross, which does an amazing service for people. But what personal responsibility individuals can take, having particularly personal papers, you know, having the things that are critical, like wills and your bank account information, et cetera, in steel kind of boxes, or in a safe deposit box somewhere, where no matter what happens, those things would be available.
I think people, it's one of those things, if you thought a tornado happened and you ran out of your home and nothing's left except for you and what you had in your safe room, did you have your wallet with you? Can you prove who you are? Can you go to the bank and can you get money? Do you know who to call, who's your insurance agent, what your policy number are? And so having that bag of information, I mean, I honestly talk about, you should put that together and you should give a copy to someone you trust who doesn't live out of your area. So if something happens and your area is completely devastated, you can have that person FedEx you that package to wherever you're at, in a shelter or what, and you can start your process with that information.
That's great information, and it's just a matter of being prepared.
And that's something that people can do. The unknown we cannot control. What we can control is how we can be prepared for the unknown and taking responsibility for our family.
We're talking about getting prepared for the unknown. We will continue the conversation in just a moment. Stay with us, won't you? If you have something to buy, sell, or trade, call me weekday mornings at 7:50 for Swap and Shop.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Maybe you need a new mattress. Well, you can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen, Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
We have a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms developing this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, 77 degrees for your high temperature. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 63.
Let me ask you a question. Do you want a picture-perfect lawn? Are broadleaf weeds like dandelions, clover, or creeping Charlie taking over your lawn? Bonide has your problem solved. Bonide's fast-acting weed and feed uses a very effective four-way weed killer that works through the roots and shoots of your lawn. Bonide's weed and feed will kill that tough-to-kill broadleaf and grassy weeds like onion grass, creeping Charlie, and dandelions. These weeds are no match for Bonide's Weed and Feed. In fact, Bonide's Weed and Feed kills over 200 hard-to-kill broadleaf weeds while giving your lawn a gentle 8-week feeding. Where do you get it? Well, easy. Right here at the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church, the Co-op. Or you can get it at Martin's Home and Garden on Memorial, rather on Broad, about to move them. They're on Broad, right across from Demas Restaurant, Martin's Home and Garden.
for you, my sky would fall, rain would gather too. Without your love, I'd be nowhere at all. Oh, what would I do?
Hey, welcome back. And if you just joined us, Lynn McMillan won the birthday cake this morning. Lynn McMillan, she won the birthday cake from Junior's Foodland. Happy birthday to you. Our good neighbor of the day is Bobby Hayes, who receives flowers from Ryan's as our good neighbor of the day. Today we're talking about being prepared for disasters, and two folks who definitely have been there and helped many people. From the Federal Emergency Management Agency, Lynn Keating is with us. And from the Tennessee Emergency Management Agency, the Public Information Officer, Jeremy Height. Two pros with us today, sort of helping us get prepared. And that is what it is all about, getting prepared, being ready, and having a radio with a battery in it, or the crank radio that has the, way to sort of generate your own battery. Water.
Absolutely.
A lot of people don't think about water.
Right. When you're looking at what you need to keep on your family, you need to have enough water, and that's a gallon of water per day per person. And you want to keep at least 3 days of that in your emergency kit, as well as some canned non-perishable food, a can opener. You want to have flashlights. You want to have maybe a flare or whistle to signal people. It's very simple to put that together, but it takes a little bit of advanced planning.
Okay. Now, when you have a fire, and we've had the fire department on several times, they talk about the importance of a fire plan where everybody meets outside after the fire to be sure that you're all there, so nobody goes running back in and looks. Well, is that same philosophy good for tornadoes and floods? Is there a central meeting point? Is that important?
Absolutely. When you think about what could potentially happen, is your family always in the same place at the same time?
No. Certainly not.
They're at work. During the day, your kids are at school. In the evenings, you'll be at basketball practice. So if something happens and you're going, we can't get to our house, where is our second rendezvous point? Is it our local community church? Is it the fire hall that's closest to our house? If you pick one of those locations, chances are that if you know that and you plan for that and your family all knows that, then you'll have a lot easier time getting back together and making sure you're all safe. And it just takes a little bit of planning. There are actually really good plans you can get from ready.gov, which is one of the websites where you can pull down a family plan, and it'll walk you through the steps of putting that together. Our application, Ready Tennessee, has those same kind of checklists for what you need to do for seniors, what you need to do for special needs, for pets, and your individual household. And then by specific threat, each of those is different. But if you're prepared for one type of emergency, you're better prepared for all emergencies.
So if there's one thing you've learned today, learn how to be prepared.
Absolutely.
And get some flood insurance. See, and find out what flood insurance is. It sounds like there's two definitions there. One for the contents, one for the structure.
And I would say, find out about your risk and look at what you need to protect yourself, which may be purchasing a low-cost flood insurance premium. But look at what you are at risk for and how you are protected. Even going over your homeowner policy. One of the biggest things that comes, the type of damage outside of flooding that comes in storms are tree damage. And depending on, your policy, it depends on how you're covered if you have tree damage to the home and whatnot. So understanding your insurance policy overall is also important.
It's important to look and update that periodically, too, because what we find a lot of times is if a damage from a storm hits an area that's older, more established, it tends to be underinsured. Even though those people have insurance, what they've done is they had insurance and they established it 20 years ago when the price for that home and the price to rebuild that home was down here at a certain level. And now the cost of materials and the cost of labor have gone up and exceeded the amount of insurance coverage they have. So if they have to rebuild their house, they're going to find that they're short.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's important to look at that every year.
And get with your professionals in town. Let them work with you, and if they don't have the right answer, check somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to have the answer for you. It's all a matter of being safe and being prepared. We've talked about floods. We've talked about fires. We've talked about tornadoes. Touched a little on the earthquake, which is a scary thing. But I have heard that Rutherford County is in a relatively good area as far as not going to have the impact of it. But the infrastructure outside the area is going to be devastated out there.
Absolutely. We could see damage here, but it'll be the types of damage where if potentially we could lose the power grid for the southeast, and that would mean you could be without power for several days to several weeks. And think about if you had to live in your community without power, without streetlights, without, you know, air conditioning, and without refrigeration for food. And there, you start going, okay, what do I need to have in order to be prepared for that? It starts to become really overwhelming. That's why you have to attack it a little piece at a time. Take a little step forward in preparedness, and the next time you're ready, take another step forward. So so eventually you'll get to a place where you're very well prepared.
We need to step back and be ready to be in the frontier days, it sounds like. I mean,
it's potential. There's a potential there. We're actually on the 200-year anniversary of the last time we had big earthquakes in the West Tennessee seismic zone there, in New Madrid seismic zone. And those earthquakes were devastating when they happened, but we didn't have the population that we have there now. We have almost 12 million people in the eight states that are potentially affected by that. And when you talk about the impact to the nation, this is going to be a nation-changing event if we have an earthquake of that size.
And it's probably going to happen.
Well, they say there's always a chance. And yeah. And if you look back at the historical record, they have a history of having big earthquakes every 500 years or so, and there's always a chance of an earthquake within a period of time. So
does TEMA have need for volunteers?
Not really. What we do is we coordinate with the other agencies in state government, and we coordinate with the federal government, and we work with the volunteer organizations active in disaster. So if there's a volunteer group in your community, that's where you need to work first. And then when we need resources or a community asks for a particular need, we'll try to match them up with the right resource. That's what we do.
I guarantee you, the Heart of Tennessee chapter of the Red Cross over on Memorial, they're looking for volunteers.
Absolutely.
Rutherford Emergency Management, the Sky Warn folks, they need volunteers to learn how to do that properly.
Right.
So whatever your area of expertise, whatever your interest, there is an area for you. We're about out of time, but I want to thank both of you for joining us today. I hope we never need this information, but unfortunately, I think we probably will. But thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Bart.
Glad to be here.
Good to have both of you with us today, visiting with us from the Federal Emergency Management Association, Lynn Keating, and from the Tennessee Emergency Management Association, Jeremy Height. All of you have a good weekend, and I'll see you Monday.